There's something about that period of time after we give to the Lord and we kind of turn our attention back to Him like we just did, that kind of brings us into the arena of response to Him. So I don't know, I can't explain it, and this may not make sense to some of you as you listen. I'm not absolutely sure I understand it, but there's something said about giving to the Lord and then worshiping Him and then hearing the Word of God being taught that seems to be this incredible process that leads us to become more like Him. And I think in part it's our willingness to follow and be obedient, and then in part it's the power of the Holy Spirit, and then it's in part responding to our faith and making it alive and active that, quite frankly, brings us closer to God. So we're in the middle of a series right now that we've entitled To Tell the Truth, and it's kind of a spin-off, that title, from a TV series that actually was brought back this year, but dates way, way, way back, where three people would say that they're telling the truth, but the truth is only one was or is. And so in the epistles that John writes, these letters to the church, we're not absolutely sure which churches he's writing to. All that we do know is that in these letters, he's dispelling falsehood that's being promoted within the church that goes against the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's dispelling this falsehood by saying, people are telling you this and people are telling you that, but I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is, and he presents the truth to them. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at the last two verses once again of that chapter. Then we're going to move into chapter 3. And if you don't know where that is in your Bible, and you're still using a physical Bible and not a phone, and a phone is absolutely fine. I love people who do that, or are using an iPad or whatever. But if you're using a physical Bible, just turn to the very end of your Bible. The book of Revelation ends the New Testament. Turn just before that, and you'll find 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. That's where this series is coming from. So it's easy to find. Just turn to the back and turn in a couple pages. But anyway, while you're turning there, I found this app online on my phone, and then saw it online and kind of explored, kind of careful about what I log into before so that I know what it is. But anyway, this app suggested that you could submit a picture and it would tell you who your celebrity lookalike was. Yeah, have you heard about that? So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting to me to see who I look like, and is there actually a celebrity that would identify my photograph with another person? So here's what I did. I told our staff, go ahead and submit that. And so we submitted the first picture, and this is what came back. Jay Silverheels, who was Tonto to the Lone Ranger many, many years ago. Apparently, there wasn't even color photography at that point. But here's the thing. I don't think he's dark enough. I mean, I know he's an Indian, and I'm Indian, too, for those of you that don't know that. But I thought, I honestly don't know that I look like him, right? So I told Mary, and I said, would you submit a second picture, please? This is what came back with the second picture. George Hamilton. That's a vast improvement. I thought, I can live with that, right? And it's probably because of the tan. But listen, let's just be honest with one another this morning. I don't look like George Hamilton. I'm nowhere near as handsome as George Hamilton is. So I said to Mary, and I said, I can't end on that note, right? Let's try one more picture and see what it says that I look like. So we submitted the third picture, and this is what came back. Very funny. I sensed that our staff had something to do with that, but this is what I took away from that. I figure I can actually spend less money than any other year for a costume this year. All I got to do is put this on, right? Apparently, I look just like Herman Munster, right, with these bolts. So anyway, we'll see if this works next week. You know, it's funny how people suggest that we look like other people, not always by our appearance. Do you know that? Sometimes the comparisons and the contrast are made with how we act as well. And it's not unusual for people to say, you know, you look like so-and-so, or you act like so-and-so. And they make these comparisons by what they see you do and what you say and the way you think and the way, quite frankly, you live. All those things are true. So before we jump into our passage this morning, I have to comment on what happened last week, because I think this is a perfect picture of the way that you and I are called to be like Christ with Fan Day. As strange as that sounds, there is an opportunity that has been given us when we do these big days of celebration to be like Christ. So here's the picture that I want to paint for you of what's happened over the course of last month leading up to last Sunday. For weeks before, we gave you tools to use as invitation pieces. And those invitation pieces served as an opportunity that when you saw someone, you offered it to them and said, hey, we want to invite you to Wildwood Baptist Church. We're having a big celebration day. It's called Fan Day. It's Friends and Neighbors Day. We're going to dress casually and we're going to kind of celebrate together, and there's going to be food and there's going to be lots of fun. The truth is, our primary motivation in inviting them was to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And because we don't know if someone knows Jesus or doesn't know Jesus, we just ask anyone who the Holy Spirit leads us to. Potentially, the best candidates are people who don't attend a church on a regular basis. Not that we wouldn't want anyone that wants to come, but that's who we're going after. We're actually going after people who maybe don't attend church. When we ask her, hey, where do you go to church? And they say, oh, I don't really go. Man, we'd love to have you here. So we do that for 3 weeks. We give you invitation pieces for 3 weeks. In the meantime, behind the scenes, Fusion classes are planning food. People are planning for events that are outside. We had people come and clean the property. We had people come and manicure the hedges. And all this preparation is happening so that we look really good when our guests come and visit us, right? We had special things that were happening that day, and people spent the entire afternoon really serving one another. Isn't this a marvelous picture of the body of Christ? When we're like leading up to this great banquet that we're going to have on Fan Day, Friends and Neighbors Day, and here's what we do. We're like, we just want everyone to come. We want lots of people to come. So let me just say this. If you participated in serving on Fan Day, as many of you have and did, hundreds, literally between 100 and 200 people, and closer to 200. In fact, some estimates show that there may have even been more than 200 people that in some way served to make Fan Day as great as it was. Thank you. Thank you for being like Christ and for introducing people to Christ and for doing all the wonderful things that you did. I made a list. I really did this. I made a list of people who were serving, and I realized every time I went back to that list, I left somebody out. So I'm not going to mention all the wonderful people that I know served on Fan Day, because I'm going to leave someone out that needs to be thanked. So I'm just saying to all of you, thank you. Thank you for the great day that we had. We had a number of guests. I spoke with them. The ones that gave me a phone number gave us a phone number. I followed up with them, spoke with several of them. Believe it or not, a couple of them are talking about possibly getting baptized and being saved. And so it really is great when the body of Christ comes together and decides to do this. We decide to be like Christ, right? To serve others, to love them just as we love ourselves, right? And really, quite frankly, to care more about other people than we do ourselves. In light of all of that, look at what John tells us in 1 John 2, at the very end of that chapter, verses 28 and 29, which we talked about last week and we'll open with this morning. John says, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Right? So when we do things like we did last week, and even the weeks that preceded that, in being like Christ by welcoming people into the understanding and into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, often we'll do that by sharing it with them. Other times we'll just invite them to a place like this where we know they'll hear about Jesus. But regardless of how we do that, that we do that is very important. And that phrase, continue in him, is an interesting phrase, is it not? It suggests that there's a possibility that we won't continue in him. And I don't think he's talking about salvation here at all. I think what he's talking about is we can either continue in being like him or not being like him as saved individuals, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that's what John's saying. I think John says the choice is yours. Are you going to be like Christ or are you not going to be like Christ? Because if you're going to be like Christ, then you've got to look like Christ. You've got to act like Christ. You've got to speak the words that Christ says to speak to other people. And they will see then the Christ that lives in you when you allow him to be seen through you. That's really what I believe John is saying. And he says, whoever does that, whoever does what is right, they will know that they've been born of him, right? Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So that whole theme really motivates me to suggest to you today that you and I have an opportunity to be changed and transformed into his likeness and his image every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, we have an opportunity to choose who we're going to be more like. Are we going to be more like who we were yesterday? Or are we going to be more like him today and tomorrow and the days that follow? We have a choice according to what I see John say at the end of that chapter. So he's leading us. The Holy Spirit leads us. He lives in us, right? The Bible tells us that. We've got an opportunity to study his word, to know the pattern of our life, the guide that the Holy Spirit leads us down, follows what Scripture tells us to do, right? And so you and I face an opportunity this morning to decide for ourselves who we will follow and be like, right? Are we going to be more like we were yesterday? Or are we going to be more like him as we continue to pursue Christ's likeness in our lives? That's where John is leading us in 1 John 3, because he begins this passage by telling us, you're his children. And children are called to follow their father. Listen to what he says in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Stop for a second with me. That word know doesn't mean I know about. It actually means that we recognize, and in some way, there's growing understanding of who he is, right? So they don't know, understand, or recognize us because they don't know, understand, or recognize Christ in us. So that's the parallel that John's making here, right? Your life won't make sense to a non-believer's life because they don't know him, so they don't know the motivation behind being like him. That's what he's saying. Again, in verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known in the future. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Watch verse 3. Listen to this, because this is profound. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Read that with me again. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. It almost sounds like that's a contradiction to the ability that the Bible says that we don't have of being pure in and of ourselves, right? Which is absolutely so. This is true. You can't make yourself pure. Good works will never make you righteous in the eyes of God. What is the only thing that can make us righteous in the eyes of God? Faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that is the only hope that you and I have of being righteous and pure. However, what John is saying is that you have an opportunity to walk in that purity, to walk in His light, to follow in His ways, to be like Christ because of the power of Christ that lives within us. That's what John is saying. So we purify ourselves by remaining pure in Him, by continuing in Him, which is why I included the last two verses of 1 John chapter 2 for us this morning, right? We're going to walk by following Him in His likeness and in His footsteps as He provides the illumination that we need to not only go in the direction He would have us to go, but to be like Him as we go. So here's what he's really saying here. Every day of your life is a new opportunity to look more like Christ. And people will not understand what the real motivation behind that is. And the real motivation that is behind looking more like Christ is Christ Himself. Right? Our love for Him results in looking like Him and speaking like He would have us to speak and acting as He would have us to act. That's the ultimate goal that He has for His children. That's why He calls us His children. We're going to follow the Father, just as Jesus followed the Father. So I stop and I look at that and I think, we would be terribly remiss if we didn't just stop for a moment and praise God for allowing us to be His children. Can you fathom this? You are a child of Almighty God. His power, His love, it lives within us. It leads us and compels us to be like Him. You are no longer who you used to be. Today, you have an opportunity to be like Him in His power and in His strength and through His love. Today, we can be like Christ because we are His children. The natural response that we should be offering Jesus because of who He is and what He means to Him, to us, is to love Him and love who He loves with everything that we have. That's the most natural response to the power of God, of Christ that lives within us, is that we automatically, overwhelmingly, and obviously love the things that God loves with all of our hearts, right? With all of our being, with everything that we have. All the things that are important to God become important to us. And as we embrace that love that God has for us, so too are we empowered to love as Christ loves us. It's a beautiful picture of transformation, of who we now are becoming more like on a day-in, day-out basis. So every day that you wake up, the question that is asked is, who will you be more like? Are you going to be more like the you that you used to be? Are you going to even be more like the you that you were yesterday? Or are you going to be more like the Christ that calls you His child, who died for you on the cross so this transformation process can actually occur in your life so that others can come to know the Christ that you now know, that you understand and that you recognize as being Almighty God? That's the picture that I believe John's promoting. So kind of the argument is, maybe against that, is that it's only God that does that. That you and I don't really have to do anything to add to this equation. But why would John tell us then to continue in Him? Why would John suggest to continue in Him rather than not continue in Him if only God leads you to do this? Is there not a need for you and I to follow? is there not a requirement, if you will, to be like Christ? Is do we not have to first die to ourselves and surrender our lives to Him? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Just before Moses is leading God's people into the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God offers them the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments often come with kind of a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is that Christ fulfilled all of these things, so they're no longer necessary to be right with God. That's kind of the disclaimer that our society today has made. And yet, these were the words that Moses shared from God to the people. He offers these commands so that they may enjoy long life and that they might increase greatly. Now, that phrase, increase greatly, it could take on two meanings. One is they could grow greatly, increase in their Christ-likeness. I believe that's applicable here. But also, the numbers could increase greatly. More people could come to know Jesus Christ and become like Him. That is another way that they could increase greatly. And so the question would be, well, how would commands that we are supposed to follow do that? It offers an opportunity for people to see the power of Christ that is in us to live as Christ tells us to live, or in this particular case, as God tells us to live. So these are the words that Moses shares next in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." What he's saying here is, there is one God. There is one Lord. So listen to what he's telling us. He goes on to say in verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Moses told God's people that before they walk into God's blessing, they need to recognize and acknowledge the love that God has for them and the way that He will move in them to live, to breathe, to exist. He's saying to them, this is who I'm making you to be. Love the Lord your God with everything that you have, and everything else will work out for you. You will enjoy a long life, and there'll be an opportunity for you to greatly increase. And the picture that he offers us is just staying focused on loving God. Just love God and everything else falls in place. But people take these things and they go, well, you know, that's Old Testament. And Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. So maybe that's what he told God's people back then, but is he leading us to follow this now? So the Pharisees, they hear Jesus' teaching, and they say, well, we've got a question for you. What is the most important command? And this is the way that Jesus responds in Mark 12. This is New Testament now. These are the words of Jesus. "The most important one," answers Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Amazingly, Jesus goes right back to what was said some 1,470 years ago as still being the greatest command that you will ever follow. Love the Lord your God with everything you got. He even adds to it. He adds the word mind there. Not just with your heart and soul and strength. Throw in your thinking, the ability that God's given you to think. Think upon the things of the Lord as well. And then he adds a second command. Wait, who asked for a second command? Nobody. But the response is, I want you to know this. What's the result of loving the Lord your God with everything that you have? You will then love others. You will love the things that God loves. When you love God with everything you've got, your natural response then will be to love others. So I love this. The most important thing that we will ever do is love God with everything that we have. And the Lord said that when we love God well, then and only then will we be able to love others well as well. So often that means that we have an opportunity to identify for ourselves the love that we have for God with the love that we have for others. That's one of the ways that we can identify how much love we have for God. And one of the worst things that we can do is, or one of the, let's focus on the positive. One of the best things that we can do is love God and people more and more each day. But one of the worst things that we can do is go back to being who we were prior to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And actually, John suggests that's impossible, that you can't go back to your old ways once you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in verses 6 through 10. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Again, recognize and understand him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, but because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. These are incredibly strong words and strong language. And when John speaks of believers not continuing to sin, he doesn't mean that they will never sin. He means that believers will not continue in this pattern of willful sinning, right? This process of sanctification, of becoming more like Christ, is a process. But we don't continue to walk in our sinful ways once we have faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of the love that he fills us with, and because of the power that now exists in us. Sinners stop sinning because they love God, and they now know, they recognize, and walk in his power. Right? So we say no to sin, and yes to love, and loving others, and walking with Christ in the way that he's leading us to walk. It's a little bit like an alcoholic's struggle with alcohol, or even a drug abuser's struggle with drug abuse. Addicts are never fully cured. It is a day in and day out decision not to feed the addiction. And likewise, sinners are never fully cured of sin. It's a day in and day out process of making a conscious decision to walk in the light of Christ and in the power of Christ and in the will of Christ as we grow in becoming more like him on a day-by-day basis. And I think it's really important to note that we live in a world right now that's heading in the opposite direction that believers are heading in. We're kind of ships that are crossing at sea, so to speak, because as we become more like Christ, the world becomes less like him and more like the enemy. And that's what we're seeing today in the world that we live in. We're seeing the world say to us, really, you guys are being way too harsh. You're being way too legalistic. You're being way too condemning. And we're not to condemn others. We're to love them. But here's what we're not to do. We're not to follow in the ways that are not led by God's Spirit and identified in his word. We're not to live in that, right? So we're not to tolerate that in the world that we live in today, because the Christ that lives within us tells us this is wrong. And we're not to empathize with that. We're to love others, especially those who don't know Christ. We're to reach out to them. We're to serve them. We're to invite them. We're to encourage them. Undoubtedly, we're to love them. Undoubtedly, we're not to be like them. We're called to be like Christ. And we're to follow, we're called to follow in the Lord's ways. Jesus says this in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor," there's that word again, "knows him, recognizes and understands him. But you know him. You recognize him and understand him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So when we behave in a manner that's worthy of honor and glory for God, it's because of the Christ that lives within us that we choose to follow and to walk in. And we have a personal and intimate relationship with the Savior who died so that we can experience this new way of living, right? So James tells us to do, in a very, very simplified fashion, do this. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's just that simple. Just resist what the devil wants you to do and follow the things that Christ is leading you to do. And Paul admits he struggled with that. I mean, the Apostle Paul said that I've got to do something on a day-by-day basis in order for this to be true in my life. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then he adds in verse 34 how we're to respond to this. "Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame." There are people who are watching us as believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ that will make a decision about what they believe about Jesus by the way that we live. And by the things that we do, and by the things that we say, and the way that we serve and love them. That's how they'll base their decision on whether or not Jesus is who he says he is, and whether or not God does reign supremely in the world that we live in today, right? And that sounds like a lot of pressure. Quite frankly, it's the Holy Spirit that's leading them to know that we are the identification of that power, which is exactly why we turn away from the things that keep us from remaining close to God. Anything that keeps us from being everything that Christ calls us to be, we just simply say no to. And we turn away from those things. And that dying daily deal, I mean, that gets sticky sometimes. So John adds that we're called not only to die daily to our personal wants and wishes, but we are called also to surrender our lives to him. We're not only called not to sin, but we're called to surrender to him. That's what he says in 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That is a powerful statement that really compels you and I not just to believe, not just to have faith and trust, but to act upon what we believe and have faith and trust in, right? And Jesus lived that out for us, right? The Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. While you and I continued to rebel against God, God chose to send his son to die for us. He didn't wait for us to come around to the bright side or the right side. He died for us before that ever happened. Quite frankly, this is a command that God offers you and I to love people even when they don't love you back, to care for them and to serve them and to treat them as children that God loves and sent his son to die for, by loving them even when they don't respond well back in return. And this comes with not only being Christ, but inviting them to know Christ. I have a neighbor who I don't know extremely well. We know one another because we both walk our dogs in our neighborhood, and he's got a great dog, and we've got a great dog. And the dogs actually don't get along very well, but we do. The adults do, and So I was aware of the fact that his wife has been sick for a prolonged period of time. Didn't know the details of that, but I really felt compelled to invite him to church, and Fan Day was coming up. And so I said, hey, I don't know if you guys go anywhere. And he says, actually, we don't. And I said, I go to Wildwood, and it's right around the corner. I just want to extend an invitation. Love to have you guys come. And he said, you know what, maybe we will. Earlier this week, he came to me, and he said, can I tell you something? He said, we were planning on coming, and we got our clothes out Saturday night and planned on coming Sunday. My wife passed away Sunday night. Yeah. And the thing that I thought was, you know, what if I'd asked him a long time ago? And it's not really about guilt and condemnation as much as it is. I've lived across the street from him for 6 years, and he had no idea his wife was going to pass on Sunday morning. I had no idea that his wife was going to pass on Sunday morning. But I had an opportunity to invite him to know the Jesus that reassures us of our eternal destiny for 6 years. And the thing that I don't want us ever to take for granted is that we do not know when anyone's last breath will be taken, do we? Our statistics show right now that nearly 2 people die every second. 107 deaths occur per minute, which means that in the course of our time together here this morning, approximately 8,000 people will die. 6,390 deaths per hour, 153,000 deaths per day, 56 million people die every year. And in your lifetime, should you live to be 75 years old, 3.9 billion people will have lived and died while you were alive. And the point being that you get one lifetime to hear about, trust in, and to walk with Christ. You get one lifetime to know that. And you and I are the ambassadors of his light in life. And the primary reason that I believe Jesus has not returned yet for those who believe is that there are still others who he wants to reach. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. May these sobering thoughts spur us on to action. May they shock us out of our apathy and our lethargy and move in our hearts affections that will freely share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who we encounter on a day-in and day-out basis as we reach out to this dying and hurting world. So John ends this chapter by saying that God gives us power to live like Christ. Listen to the words that he shares in verses 21 through 24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything that we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You know what I would have loved to have happened? I would have loved it if I had submitted my picture to the app My Celebrity Lookalike, and the picture that came up would be a picture of Jesus Christ. That's what I would have loved. This is what I believe. I'm becoming more like him every day, and I'm learning what it means to follow and to walk as he would have me to walk, to think as he would have me to think, to speak as he would have me to speak, to share as he would have me to share, and to serve as he would have me to serve. I'm learning that on a day-in and day-out basis. And I'm watching the old me slowly fade away, ever so slowly sometimes, but the new me becoming more and more like Christ on a day-in and day-out basis. And when people ask me questions, especially from my past, you know, what led you into ministry? What leads you to post the things that you post on Facebook and different things. Why live the way that you're living? I'm telling them now, it's because of the Jesus that I've come to know. And my ultimate goal is to be like him. There was a poll taken for a bunch of children. And the question was, who do you want to be like when you grow up? And so this is what the poll response was. Number one was professional athlete. The second biggest choice was a doctor or nurse. The third, interestingly enough, was I don't know. I don't know who I want to be like yet, you know. Number four was be like a teacher. Number five was a veterinarian. Number six was a firefighter. Number seven was a scientist. Number eight, an astronaut. Number nine, an engineer. And number 10, a police officer. And John is telling us this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ultimate goal in this life is to grow up spiritually to be like Christ. That's the ultimate goal that he has for his children. So I'm asking God to move in our hearts and our lives today in such a way that today will be more like him than we were yesterday. And tomorrow will be true as well. And as you grow to become more like him, will you agree with me to invite people to come to know him, to believe in him, to trust in him, and to become more like him themselves? Let's pray. Father, I'm asking right now that you would move in our hearts, and I'm asking that you would allow us to know this power and this goal that you have for us. God, that we not only would desire to be like you, but we would also be willing to surrender our lives, as Paul says, to die daily in such a manner that we'll do that which is uncomfortable. God, that we'll be willing to go through awkward moments where we speak about you or invite people to church or even share the gospel with them and recognize, God, sometimes the response being less than positive, but knowing, God, that we're doing what is right and recognizing that the reason that we're doing what is right and what is very odd in the world that we live in today is because of the power of Jesus that lives within us. Lord, would you stir us to be more like you? Would you help us to share your light and your life and your love with all who we encounter so that one day they too may know the Savior who died on the cross for your sins? Use us as those vessels of light. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.